Now we're up. We're not going to have any specials. Things are changing. Praise the Lord. I don't have any specific scripture to go to this afternoon, just be several different ones. I don't have any of them marked. Mickey ought to be here. She could keep up with me now. Well, she could, because she's got, when I'm having to search for them, I'm up here in front of people. It takes me a little longer to find them because I'm trying to hurry. You ever been that way? But anyway, I want to talk just a little bit about the Holy Spirit this afternoon and ask the question, just how's your relationship with the Spirit? And I read this article by Joyce Myers. And how many have heard of Joyce Myers? A very prominent lady evangelist, conference speaker who's reached probably countless thousands for the Lord and encouraged millions of people around the world. So I'm going to take some of her thoughts and just bring them to you this afternoon as if they were mine. Well, they're out of the Word of God. And I'm not near as pretty as her. I'm glad I don't wear clothes like she does. No, but I just want to ask that question to you because as Christians, we need to learn to recognize His voice. Now, whether you realize it or not, sometimes it's difficult to recognize His voice. The most devout of us, the most prayerful of us, still have difficulty sometime recognizing His voice. And it kind of grieves us a little bit sometime because we want to hear His voice. We want to know for sure it is His voice. But yet, when He speaks sometime, we wonder, well, is that really God? Is that really the Spirit of the Lord speaking? So we need to understand that and learn how to recognize His voice. Now, as Christians, we serve a triune God. How many know that? We believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost. That's what we believe. And I believe it's all through the Bible, from Genesis. The fact is, Genesis 1:26 says, God says, let us make man in our image. So there's one of the very first speaking to the fact that there's three, the Godhead. So we believe in the triune God, and God as a Trinity, we need to learn to worship Him as a Trinity. Many people they'll pray to God, they'll pray to Jesus, but then they never say anything about the Spirit. When I pray, I don't know how y'all pray, but when I pray, I'll pray to God for a while, I'll pray to Jesus, and I'll pray to the Spirit. I pray to all three of them and use them all interchangeably because that's how you can do it. And you're not insulting or offending any one of the Godhead by speaking highly of the other. Because they work together, God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're all one and the same in that sense that they work together. Just like an egg works together. You got the shell, you've got the whites, and you've got the yolk. It's all an egg, but they're all different. But yet they all serve a function for that egg. And so that's how I believe, okay? So I want you to understand that today. So we need to have a relationship with each person of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can I call Him Holy Spirit? Or I call Him either one, either however you want me to call Him. I'll call Him the Holy Ghost. I'll call Him that. I call Him both. Used to, we was taught, Sister Kathy, that it was the Holy Ghost. If you said Holy Spirit, she's going to hell. Because you just got through grieving Him. I'm serious. That's how I picked up on some of the teaching you'd get sometime. Maybe that was just my ignorance thinking that, but maybe it wasn't going to hell, but she was wrong. Because it's the Holy Ghost. King James says Holy Ghost, so it's the Holy Ghost. Well, it's translated the Spirit in the Old Testament. Same word. It's the same thing. So we're speaking, and I'm not going to blaspheme Him or offend Him in any shape, form, or... That is, they said the only unpardonable sin is blaspheme of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. I don't want to blaspheme Him. I don't want to offend Him. So I don't want to go unforgiven. So I hold Him in high honor, that third person of the Trinity. I hold Him in high honor. He is a person with a personality, just the same as God and Jesus are. He has a knowledge, he has a mind, and he thinks and he knows things. He's the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and 11. And it says there that no man can know the things of the Spirit except by the Spirit. I was waiting on you, Robbie, and you're letting me down, son. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so then the things of God knoweth no man except by the Spirit of God. So it takes the Spirit of the Lord to know things, and no one knows the things of God except by the Spirit. So you say, well, I know all about God. If you don't have the Spirit leading you, you don't have the Spirit in you, you don't know a whole lot about God. You may think you know about God. You may have some knowledge of God. You may have seen things happen in the name of God, and they may have been really things of God, but you can't know Him, the things of God, without the Spirit of God. We need that third person of the Trinity involved in our lives. And I'm talking not just in the sense of being endued with power from on high after the Holy Ghost comes on you. I'm talking about when you get saved, He comes to live in you. You have Him immediately in your life, and so you begin to search the things of God with His help and learn of God with His help. And so we don't know these things. In John 16:7, we learn a little bit about His personality. There we go. Nevertheless, it's terrible for a preacher to be dependent upon reading words off the wall, isn't it? I could turn to him, but it's quicker just let Robbie do it. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient or necessary for you that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit as the Comforter who could not come until He went away, and then He would send Him. And He did that. As soon as He got there, He sent Him. If I go away, I'll send Him. So the Scripture teaches us that, first off, He is a Counselor. He's our Counselor here on earth. So you should always go to God for counsel before you do anything, and let Him speak to you His way through the people or things He chooses to speak to you. The Holy Spirit will not only speak to you personally, but He'll put people in your path to speak into your life the will and the things of God for you. It may come through a song. It may come from just a telephone call from someone, and they may not even know that the Spirit has directed them to call you, but they call you and they visit with you, and something they say ministers exactly what you needed at that time and you knew it was of God. Or they may send somebody, He may send somebody your way to speak, come to you and say, hey, this is what God has told me concerning you. I feel like, or I believe, God has spoke to me to tell you this. And so when that happens, you should be very receptive, especially if you know that as a spiritual person, a person that you can trust, someone you know has been in prayer, someone you know that is led of the Spirit. Now, there are some people who may come to you like that, and you say, oh, hold on here. Wait a minute. I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. In fact, it's what I know about you leads me to believe that you might not know what you're talking about. Have you ever had that type happen to you? Yeah, sure, we all have. And anyway, I could give you an example of that, but I won't. So He speaks to us, so we should go to Him for counsel. He'll speak the things of God to you. He is our advocate. An advocate is somebody that speaks on your behalf to someone else. In other words, like a lawyer. A lawyer speaks for you in a court of law, speaks on your behalf to the judge, and speaks for you on specific items. He is our advocate. So He, when there's a court held in heaven, He is there as our counselor, or our advocate, letting God know everything. Hey, I'm speaking for them. I'm taking their place. I'm here to defend them. And that's like Jesus. He pleads our case when we are in trouble. I know you never get in trouble, but I do sometime. So I need an advocate. I really do. I need an advocate because I do things, silly things sometime. Yeah, way. He's our intercessor. He is our intercessor. He prays for us. Now, most of you know all this stuff. It just pays to think about it again and have it taught to you one more time so you understand that we have this Holy Spirit who's there for us to help us live a godly and victorious life. You're not on your own. Fact is, the Bible says you bought with a price. Jesus bought you with a price, and if he bought you and paid the price, he's certainly going to do everything within his power to make sure you make it. He's going to do his part to make sure you make it. So he's our intercessor. So he prays for us and through us when we don't know how to pray on our own. I like praying that way. Have you ever prayed that way? I pray that way a lot. I'll be praying. Next thing I know, I'm speaking in tongues, and I know that then the Holy Spirit has took over. And he's praying the perfect will of God into my life and over me and for whatever I'm praying for. Sometimes I don't even know what it is I'm praying for at that point. But I know it's the perfect will of God. The Holy Spirit has come in and he is interceding for me on my behalf or on behalf of someone else who's on my heart. He begins to pray for me and he can touch the heart of the Father. When you just release yourself to him and let him speak through you, what a difference it makes. And you get out, you leave your prayer closet, your prayer time, feeling victorious. You leave there feeling glorious. Feeling like you can take on giants. Because actually, what you're doing when you're in there, if you really want to think about it, you just killed a bear. You might have just slayed a lion. Now you're ready to take on the giant. Because of the Holy Spirit. I made that. That ain't in here. I just got that on my own. And he's our, well, aren't y'all privileged? He's our standby. He always wants to act on our behalf when we don't know what to do. And man, this is all true stuff. He likes to help us out. He is our, you know, he's all these things to us. And he's our standby and he wants to help. And then he's our strengthener. He gives us God's grace whenever we need it. I mean, when you're at your lowest point and you don't think you can go another step, the Holy Spirit will always step in and make sure you can take that next step. He strengthens you. He helps you do whatever you need to do in whatever situation you're facing. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed. I mean, have you ever, sometimes I want to get on my tractor and just drive to the far corner of my place, which is not that far, quarter of a mile maybe. It's far enough nobody can hear me unless they're listening. I just want to get out there and just scream. I don't ever do it because I'm afraid somebody will hear me and think, well, that guy, what's wrong with him? Have me committed to the nut house. But you ever felt that way? You just want to get as far away from everybody you can and just cry and weep and he's there to give you the strength you need, the courage you need to keep going. He'll do it. Why? Because he's that helper that Jesus sent back to be there for us. He's our counselor, our advocate, our intercessor, our standby, our strengthener. He's all these and so much more to each of us, church. You know, God is literally everything we need. Now, I know some of you have been going through some tough times and some of you facing some health issues and it just seems like you can't get past them. Well, God is still everything you need. He's it. It's just God's God and you need God. And here we have the Holy Spirit to help you. And so, and we need to fellowship with the Spirit. And to fellowship with him, you need to pray and get to that place where you're praying, you're seeking God, that place where you hear his voice. That place where you could just, you know what, have you ever just heard a song and it just triggered something in you? I don't mean some love song. I'm talking about some gospel song, something on the radio or something you just listened to on CD and something just triggered inside of you and you just had to weep. That's the Holy Spirit ministering to you. He may have touched a place in your heart that you didn't even know was hurting and he saw it and he said, I'm going to fix that right now. I'm not going to give them a preventive flu shot. I'm going to come in and fix the problem. They don't even know they're sick. Maybe that is a flu shot, a gospel flu shot. I'm going to give it to them before they even know they need it. Isn't that what a flu shot's for? Give you something, try to prevent something from happening? Well, he sees it coming, so I'm going to take care of that right now. And when that hits them, they're going to walk right through it. They're not going to have a problem with it. They're not going to get sick from it. They're not going to become discouraged, but they're going to be victorious because I've already dealt with it. I already gave them the courage, the strength, and what they needed just for that problem. That's how God works, church. That's how He works. And we need to have fellowship with the Spirit so we can have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And that comes through the Holy Spirit, where you get the mind of Christ. We need him. So he's the one that fully knows the mind of God. He knows the mind of God. He doesn't tell us to do anything that would cross Scripture. He doesn't tell us to do anything or lead us to do anything that crosses God. Everything he leads you to do or tells you to do is in full compliance and in agreement with the Father and the Son. He'll never lead you astray. He's not some glorified angel sitting up there waiting for a chance to elevate himself above God. That's what Satan was. He's not like that. He's there for your good. So he gives us the wisdom and the knowledge we need. And we need to realize it's the Spirit is in us. I have him in me right now. Can't see him, can you? No, if he looked like some of us, it don't matter what we look like. He's in us. He's in all of us. Fact is, the Word of God actually says he'll beautify the meek with salvation. You put it like he'll beautify the ugly with salvation. Meek don't mean that, but you understand. Hey, he makes all things beautiful. He's God. He's God here for us. So I appreciate that. And he communicates to us what he hears from God. You understand this, church? I know this is it's kind of old stuff to most of us, but he communicates to us exactly what he is. He is the Spirit of truth, and he always guides us in truth. Always guides us in truth. John 16:3, I ain't going to wait. For he will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak whatever he hears. And that don't mean the gossip that he heard last week down at the local church or at the coffee shop. Whatever he hears in heaven, that's what he speaks. He speaks the mind of God, never anything else. And you understand, he has emotions. The Bible says he can be grieved. And we probably all at one time or another, because of our actions, words, deeds, something we've done or said, have grieved him. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But we probably all have at one time or another. It might have been a lack of faith. Doubt might have crept in. You might have been critical of somebody. You might have been critical of the service we had this morning, and God is grieved by that because he was in that service. I don't think any of you were, but you understand what I'm saying there. We sometimes see things happen, and we might complain about it or question it. And I've been guilty of that myself, question it. But the Holy Spirit is grieved by that when we don't trust that it's him, when we don't. So he lives in us, and he sometimes feels grieved, and he feels grieved when we are sometimes. You know, you might be grieved over something, and he feels grief. He is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. That's what it said about Jesus. In all points, he was tempted like we were, yet without sin. Well, the Holy Spirit wants you to be tempted without sin. And what grieves you will grieve him, but what grieves God will also grieve him, and we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. There's some behaviors that cause us to grieve him. And if you look at Ephesians, the 4th chapter, in the 29th through the 31st verse, there's a whole long list of things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And what's the shame of this is that there are things in this list that are descriptive of a lot of Christians. And there's probably more than one on that list that each of us have done at one time or another. We have grieved him because of some of these things that I'm going to read right now. Let no corrupt communication come forth or proceed out of your mouth. That's not just cussing. That's not just using bad language. That's the words that are proceed from your mouth that are not good or edifying. That maybe be tearing somebody down or being critical or something. But that which is good to the use of edify, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Next verse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, where you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. These things grieve the Holy Spirit. Is that all of them, Brother Robbie? So these things grieve him. So when we choose to speak in ways that are not edifying or speak in ways that go against the nature of the Spirit, we should feel conviction. Have you ever said something and something come over you immediately? Dread or fear or sorrow? That's conviction. The Lord's showing you what you did or said was wrong. What's the remedy for that? Well, first you shouldn't have done it. But now that you have, repentance. Ask God to forgive you. Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I know I just grieved you. I just grieved your spirit. So we do that when we feel conviction. So we should confess our sins and repent immediately. Repeat it so you can feel that way again and you can repent again. So I'll repeat it so I can feel that way and I can repent again. I don't like to live that way, do you? Don't you get tired of sinning and have to repent? Why you keep doing it? But you understand, there's all of us at one time or another say things we hadn't our say and do things we shouldn't say, and it's sin. We should repent of it and then do our best not to repeat it. Repent of it, not repeat it. The James, the third chapter, teaches us that no man can tame the tongue. Have you ever said something and immediately wished you could take it back? Well, I'm the champion of that. I try to think of funny things to say, and I'll say them. It's like, oh, shucks, I did it again. I just got through hurting somebody's feelings. Or sometimes I'll just say something, just bark back at my wife, and then I hurt her feelings. I'm like, oh, I did it again. And then I have to try to correct it, and usually I make it worse. But I have to repent of it. There's times I get like, I'm tired of doing this. So tired of this. I'm always having to say I'm sorry. Why can't somebody else say they're sorry for a change? So my wife says, sure, I'm sorry you're sorry. Your wife ever told you that? No. I tell you, the other day something was said, and I could have took offense to it because my son-in-law told me my daughter's a chip off the old block. Just because she thought about kicking the door in on her car after it wouldn't start. I don't believe that my daughter would do that. I don't think she would just about kick it. I think she would have done it. He said her leg was a block. I want to kick it. I don't know how she did it. I can't believe she'd do that. I told her what you do. You kick the tire with the flat part of your foot. Do not kick it with your toe. That will hurt. Hey, I learned. Don't kick it with your toe. Kick it with the flat part. You get the job done. You get the frustration out. Then you can repent and go on. You haven't hurt nothing. You're not limping. Somebody goes, what happened? Well, I kicked my tire because I was mad. We all do silly things. One time I had a brand new pickup in 2000. The first new pickup I'd bought since 1984. I bought a brand new GMC in 1984. No, 1974. And the first new pickup I'd had since 1974, and was out in the yard doing some yard work. You know them little three or four prong things you dig with? It was laying the wrong direction. And I stepped on it. Boom, right in the middle. Well, I picked it up and slung it over my shoulder. And I turned around and looked, and there's my new pickup about 30 feet over there, and that thing's going. And it hit my new pickup, sharp edge first. Put a big old scratch about like that down the edge of my brand new pickup. Hadn't had it 6 months. I started learning after that, don't throw stuff until you know which direction to throw it. We all do stuff like that. The Bible says don't do it. But if you do, repent of it and stop repeating it. I haven't thrown nothing like that lately. I make sure my trucks aren't nowhere near. I see which direction my wife's standing, and that's the direction I throw it. Now laugh. We all do stuff like that. The Bible says don't repeat it, repent of it. That's the wrong way to be. And we say things we shouldn't say. And that hurts people. That's where I was at, and I got plumb back to the other point, didn't I? It's very easy to be insensitive. Believe me, it's easy. And say something you shouldn't say. Joyce said this one day to a lady. She said, there's blouse shopping, and she tried on a blouse, and she said, well, that's too big for me. Maybe you ought to try it on. It might fit you. And she said, immediately, I thought, oh, shucks, why did I say that? And she said, I regretted it, and I had to repent of it. And she said, I couldn't believe I said that. But she didn't mean nothing by it, but yet, how would you think it meant? Same thing that woman probably thought. So the Bible says in James 3 and 8 that no man can tame the tongue. And it's difficult, but by the Holy Spirit we can. We can control that. And we need to pray that God would give us, that we'd hear His voice, that give us wisdom and direction in the thoughts we choose to think about and the words we speak. Too often we speak before we think. And we do that a lot, and it gets us in trouble quite often. And I mean, I'm talking about me now. I know you guys, see, I understand the type of church I pastor. You guys never do these things. I understand that. I can tell by looking at you, it's just so foreign to y'all. But in closing, as a counselor, the Holy Spirit, He wants to guide us in everything we do. He wants us to learn to hear His voice as He speaks to your heart. And He does that frequently as we submit and commit ourselves to Him, to the Word of God and to God. And if you'll quietly wait, sometimes we pray and we say a lot of words, and we may even pray in the Spirit, but then we get up out of our prayer time and immediately go back to whatever we were doing or whatever task we had at hand, and we don't sit quietly and wait for Him to speak back. And if we do that, take more time to do that. Oftentimes I hear from Him more just when I'm out doing something. All of a sudden He'll just speak to me, or through a song. He speaks to me through song a lot. He'll give me my answer through a song or just to a quiet thought later on. But sometimes we need to take time just to slow down at the end of our prayer and sit and listen and see what He's going to say to us. Because He wants to speak to you. He wants to be a part of your life. He wants you to live victorious. He wants you to know the nature of God in every point of your life. He really does. He's the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit, don't you? I'm glad for His presence in my life through my salvation, through repentance. I'm also glad for that second, which I call second yet definite work of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is being filled with the Spirit, the evidence of speaking in unknown tongues as the Spirit gives evidence or gives utterance. When I got filled with the Holy Ghost, that was the greatest day in my life. I'm serious. It's better than getting saved. It was just great to be filled with the Spirit, was speaking in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. I remember it just like it was yesterday. What a great thing happened. I sought Him. Some people get Him just like that. I had to seek Him for weeks, maybe months. I'd go to almost the same place at the altar on this side of the church and just pray. And back then in the 70s, people would get around you and pray with you, and some would say, fill him up, and others say, empty him out. And, you know, it's like, wait a minute. You know, all this stuff, you know, they all, okay, I'm going to empty. No, fill him up. Okay. What do I do? But we prayed and sought God. And one day I just got everything out of my mind, quit listening to what they were saying. Nobody's grabbing my chin and going, none of that stuff. They'll do that to you. Keep your hands away from my mouth. I'll bite you. They'll do all that stuff, and you'll start jabbering. Oh, you got it, you got it. You ain't got nothing yet except their, you know, they got you moving. But I remember shutting it all out one Sunday evening, and all of a sudden, there's this strange voice started coming out of me. And it was, oh, my. I thought, I have it. I have just received the Holy Ghost. Finally. Such a great occasion. I don't know if it made me a better person or not. I wish to think it does. But it was a great time. I still believe in that stuff. I still believe he still fills people. And I know he leads and guides us all along our journey. I know that for a fact. Amen? I hope that's helped you today. I know this morning helped me. I'm encouraged. I tell you guys, did y'all see Ronnie? He was the last one out of the altar. And his little 14-year-old girl got up. Some of y'all had already left. She got up and come down here and knelt by her daddy and began to pray and weep before God. That's beautiful. Then his 80-year-old aunt, whatever, said she got up and come down and knelt by Ronnie, put her arms around him, started praying with him. That's beautiful. But that wouldn't have happened if Ronnie hadn't been receptive and hadn't got up out of his pew and came and said, God, I heard what you said to me today through that message. I want it. I want the fire. He came. God moved. Something's going to change in that life, in that family. Something already began to change in that family. We baptized him and Amanda just a few weeks ago. Just a few weeks ago, we baptized them. And God's doing a work. Isn't that great? There's no reason to be discouraged today. God is on our side. We're going to make it. Well, stand up with me.